And so this morning, it's a great honour and great privilege to have him here with us. We've asked him to come and share and bring something that he feels on his heart for us as a church. So I wonder if you would put your hands together and warmly welcome Jules. God bless you.
I always do this. Try to get ready. Yes, wonderful. It's good to be here. It's wonderful. It's really wonderful. I love the time, and I can recognize when I saw you, Tamara, my spirit got revived. Amen. And I can recognize some faces familiar. That's good. I love the noise of the children. Where are they all gone? I've got four. And you can imagine when they were all little. So one was 0 year old. Another one was one. The third one was two. And the fourth was three. Bless my wife. Praise God. Praise God. And this is the word that God gave me to share with us today. I will not call it a preaching. I have the tendency to call it a teaching. If you may open your Bible with me, please, in the book of Luke chapter 2. Are we ready? Luke chapter 2. From verse 39. Who is there? Everybody? Can you read for me, please? I'll stop you where.
Okay. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men.
Wonderful. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Holy Father, we stand on the threshold of new opportunities, but we also feel the responsibility of new obligations. You have led us in the past, and we face the future with full assurance of your guidance in the days ahead. We thank you for open doors And we pray for faith to enter them in your strength. Today we bring fresh resolves, Lord, concerning the stewardship of our lives. Help us to recognize that a part of that stewardship is the bringing of our tithes, times, and offerings. We ask your blessings upon each gift, each giver, and each cause that we support through our giving. Accept our gifts and use them. Accept us and use us to spread the gospel of your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is always a challenge to come in and talk on the growth to adults. It works quite easily with children because they are still growing up. But when it comes to adults, probably we wonder, am I going to grow again? My anatomy or physiology teacher told me that, Jules, you stopped growing up when you were 17. And then I was very puzzled by that because when I was 21, I was still changing trousers because they got shorter and shorter. Yeah, we do have rules, but sometimes we do have exceptions as well. So I believe today you will receive this word that I call a kind of holistic diet. Today we go, we read and we watch programs about different kind of diets. And interestingly enough, it's mainly orientated towards us adults, and which makes me believe somehow we want to grow differently. In losing weight, in putting on weight, in being more fit, and so on. And this chapter, as we read, it tells us a bit of story of Jesus' growth. The beginning of this chapter, just to give some kind of background, from verse 1 to 3, we see there Caesar Augustus' decree for national census. And verse 4 and 5 talks about Joseph being of the house and lineage of David, went with Mary, his wife, who was pregnant, to Bethlehem, the city of David in Judea, to be registered. And we see verse 6 and 7, Jesus Christ born of Mary in Bethlehem. And 8 to 20 is the Christmas season. It's about 2 months ago now. Is it? Or three? Good, wake me up. Or shall I wake you up? Amen. And we see from verse 21 talks about Christ's circumcision a week later. And 22nd to 24th, the presentation or what we call the dedication of Jesus to the Lord in the temple, an offering of sacrifice by his parents. And verse 25 to 35, we see the fulfillment of Simeon's revelation and his blessing of the Savior's family. He's the man who waited for the promise to come to pass, the promise of Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. And from verse 36 to 38, we see the prophetess Anna's witness to the Redeemer. And again, another prophecy fulfilled. So that's where this story is taking from in verse 39. As you may already know, there is very little material, if not nothing at all, in the New Testament concerning Jesus from the time of his birth until the beginning of his ministry. I know when I was growing up and learning philosophy and the theory of evolution in biology and things like that, as a young man growing up, we began to fill in that gap for the Bible writers. The kind of things Jesus might have done, probably, you know, he was looking for girlfriends and he was doing this, he was doing that. And that was great. We had great time among friends until when the Lord began to tell us exactly the way we should be thinking in the right way. Here you go. A few scattered passages tell of the early days just after his birth. Matthew records his escape with his parents into Egypt and their return. Luke tells of his presentation in the temple and the response of Simeon and Anna, as we've just read. Now, two silent periods confronts us concerning his life. The first is from the time his parents came and dwell in a city called Nazareth. And we can see that in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, verse 23. After they returned from Egypt, until the time Jesus visited the temple at the age of 12. This is the first gap. The second silent period is from the return to Nazareth, where Luke says he went down with them and was a subject unto them. Verse 51, until he presented himself to John for baptism at the age of 30. Quite interesting. Philosophers, writers, intelligent people have written many stories, many books about the gaps. What kind of life did Jesus live during these days? There are many speculative stories, and then I tell you, some of them are fantastic. Fantastic legends concerning these periods, especially when he was between the ages of 12 to 30. Most of them have been rejected as untrustworthy. Why? Because the truth is this. I don't know. Amen? Reliable records are not available. Two testaments of Luke gives us the best clue, I believe. Immediately after he records the return of Jesus from Jerusalem following the presentation in the temple, he says, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom and grace of God, and the grace of God was upon him. And this is verse 40. Luke then tells of the visit of Jesus and his parents to Jerusalem, and concludes this account by saying, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor of God with men. Verse 52. When we speak of the growth of Jesus, we do not imply either imperfection or immaturity. I want this to be clear. We are speaking only of the finiteness of his human nature. He was divine, to be sure, but he was human also and had a normal human growth. I thank God for the word that he gave me for our, I love to call her mother, amen. Forgive me if that's not the way, but that's how I was brought up. You call your friends mothers, mothers. Yes? Amen. I've got some witness here, praise God. So the word is, you will run, you will grow. We may wonder, at this age, how can somebody grow again? Oh, well, we will see when I begin to unpack what I brought here. I believe we continue to grow. We never stop. I believe if we stop growing, this is my amazing, wonderful medical theory, not certified by nobody except myself, okay? If we stop growing, we will disappear. Because our cells will just stop growing. And as they die, we will disappear. I believe we grow. We might not see, but we still grow. The microscope can help us to see that sometimes, but not all the times. Amen? So yes, regardless of the age, we can still grow. Just make sure I don't go off a time. Where are we? We can affirm his human nature had the need to experience childhood and therefore passed in a normal way to wider knowledge and clearer self-consciousness. As Jesus' capacity increased, his ability to grow and comprehend increased. There were no pauses, no sinful elements mingled with his growth. His powers were neither deformed nor unduly developed. His growth means merely that he had no failings in his childhood, but was taught by life as well as by scripture and communion with the Father. The silence of the scripture, this is quite interesting. The silence of the scripture is as eloquent as if it were vocal with reference to the early years of Jesus. Someone may wonder why. How can this be? I'll tell you a little story. I went to a funeral gathering sometime a few years ago. And then as I sat there, you know my kind of people, they like to talk and then argue when they sit there. It's boring, no music, no nothing is happening. All that we can do is to talk. And you know, the first 15 or maybe half an hour, you can talk, talk, talk. But after that, then you run out of subjects. And immediately, they go into politics. Then they talk politics. And when that one is over, then they talk about anything else. And interestingly enough, they began to talk about some medical issues. And then I was there, I was just listening, just enjoying the noise they were making. Not saying a word at all. I was silent. Then somebody in the house realized that this guy there is not saying a word. And he turned to me and said, hang on a minute, hang on a minute. Listen, listen, let hear this guy. He has not said a word yet. So we see how much eloquent silence can be sometimes. Sometimes you just don't need to say a word, but your silence will mark your presence. Sometimes even stronger than those who are making noise. Amen. I have this principle in the music I call, I say, the less you play, the more it becomes. Amen? Don't you realize that? When we are worshiping, the instruments are playing, that's great. We love that. We love the instrument. But when some kind of anointing comes down, when the musicians stop, and maybe only one instrument may continue to play, then we will hear that instrument. It's not playing a lot, but we can hear that as loud as if many instruments were playing at the same time. Silence is as eloquent as the noise can be. And this is, I believe, what happens with the two periods of silence that we are confronted with. But these verses that the writers of the Gospels have given us can tell a lot about Jesus and his growth. The innocence of Jesus grew into holiness and did so naturally without attracting attention to itself. On this beginning of this year, as we are still moving on, let's consider the growth of Jesus as an example for our growth in every area of our personality. The first point I share with you is Jesus grew physically. Amen? We mean this body. Our bodies are the temple or the dwelling place of God's Spirit. Yes? We need to obey all the laws of health. Oh, yes. Amazing, isn't it? Some people say, well, in church, we don't talk about that. We don't talk about eating, drinking, resting, sleeping, moving, exercising. We do. Amen? We need to obey that. There is every indication in the New Testament that Jesus had a vigorous physical constitution. His work schedule was amazing. When we talk about being busy in London, let's compare to the schedule of Jesus. We know the sermon that we call the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave. If some people complain about a long preaching on a Sunday, I will say, go back to the book of Matthew from chapter 5 to chapter 7. We see chapter 5, 6, and 7. Jesus delivered them all in one go. And where? On the mountain. Incredible. Incredible. That was pretty long. If you just take these three chapters just to do a simple reading, that might take you a good half an hour. And now imagine he was teaching, he was preaching, he was doing what he was doing. That is pretty long. And this shows that Jesus was a tough guy. He was quite fit. He took care of his physical body. Amen? And then I believe we need to do the same. He became tired, of course. But there is no indication anywhere that he had limited physical capacities. On the contrary, quite often he performed tasks that showed he was a man of great physical strength. The early years of our lives set the pattern for physical strength or the lack of it in the mature years. Growing up, I was called upon to work hard in my growing years of life. And then I grumbled at times. And particularly when I returned from school, Mom, don't send me yet until you feed me. That was my principle, feed me first and then send me later. But later I realized what a privilege I enjoyed. Now I see what a privilege it was to work hard. The development of good habits may be hard. Nevertheless, the fruit or the result can be tremendously enjoyable if we maintain developing the habit. Jesus worked in the carpenter shop. He took care of his body and in the years to come, he was able to use it in the work of God's kingdom, God's glory. One example that can give us an indication of how physically strong Jesus was is the beatings, the floggings, the abuse he was subjected to. But you know what? He still kept on carrying the cross. This puzzles me. He was tired. To carry that cross alone was not an easy job to do. But imagine, after being beaten, flogged, and mocked, and looked at, looked down by people, you can lose all your strength. But this man kept on picking up the cross and going forward. Going forward. Going forward. Going forward. That cross that brought you and I redemption and salvation. May somebody say amen. He took care of his body. The second point to fit in the time given here. Jesus grew mentally. Although God warns us many times concerning the folly of trusting human wisdom, this does not mean he is opposed to our intellectual growth. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Amen? This is the scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And in verse 6 of the 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says this: stir up the gift of God. God gave us a mind, and he expects us to develop it through education, through study, apprenticeship, and so on. All other things being equal, the best trained people, get this picture right. Suppose that everything is equal among us. The best trained people, even Christian, will be more effective than others when we are trained. You know, I doubted that one for many years when I said, well, I'm pretty good in finances. I don't need anyone's input. But when I sat with a financial consultant, then I discover how stupid I was. And you know, the more you learn, instead of thinking, oh yeah, I'm gaining much more knowledge, but the more it makes you realize how less you know. You know that? You know, before I went into medical school, I thought, yeah, from the first year, I will be that great big doctor. But as I went in there, the first session, I don't know if they planned it or not, I was among Maccabees, what we call the dead bodies. That was the very first session. And these teachers are quite clever. They will call you in, and after a few minutes, then he will say, oh, I'm coming, and then he will go out and then leave you alone with the dead bodies. That was pretty scary, frightening, very, very frightening. And this is not the first experience you'd like to have in medical school. And then I tell you, some of my classmates dropped. But thank God, I qualified, amen? Hallelujah. So, yes, God gives us a mind, and he expects us to develop it. The boy Jesus must have spent many hours reading the Old Testament scrolls and the writings of the learned men. He was truly human in a mind and lived under the limitations common to man in the mental realm. He therefore was required to study in order to grow. In this way, he is, I believe, our example for intellectual achievement. If the Son of God grew mentally, those of us who seek to follow him or to follow in his steps should also take seriously apprenticeship, study, and so on, development, and utilize it to the glory of God. You know, there is one observation that states this, that many Christians live a different kind of life between Monday to Saturday. And on Sunday, we wear our Christian face mask. And that's where we read the Bible. That's where we pray. But what about Monday to Saturday? We need that. We need to grow. We need to grow, develop our knowledge of the scripture. I tell you one thing. When really I am in a situation where I need God's intervention, at that moment, I quote the scriptures I know by heart. They become my most used weapons. Just imagine when you are walking through a dark path and then you see some suspicious people right in front of you, and there is no U-turn, there is no side where you've got to confront them and just go across. Immediately, I will begin to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Lord, I know. I might have run away from you, but I know you are my shepherd. And before I finish the last verse, I will realize, well, these people that I was scared of are behind me. I went through. But it's something I know by heart. I don't simply say it because it's good to say, but you mean the words you say, you believe it, you make it your prayer. Amen. The third point, Jesus grew socially. Though Jesus became popular, which is very, very true, the New Testament is full of indication that he did not attract it to himself or strive for popularity. This is quite interesting about Jesus. He was a man, he lands somewhere, people would just gather. And there's always this question on my mind, particularly when I think of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus was talking to many people. We know when Jesus fed 5,000 men without counting children and women. I wonder, and he was preaching, and what kind of PA system did he use to communicate to more than 5,000 people? It's amazing. Then I got a clue when I saw a picture of this man, Charles Spurgeon, preaching to a big crowd outside with our PA system. I said, wow, so this is possible. This can happen. Amen. But I'm proud that in such a place, smaller setting than where Jesus spoke, I can use the PA system. Praise God. Yes, technology. Hallelujah. I'm sure if Jesus was in this time, he could have used it too. Amen. Wonderful. So Jesus did not attract any popularity to himself. There is, of course, a danger in striving for popularity and social approval. We must not adjust to whatever moral color prevails in the crowd or majority. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A Christian must always stand for his conviction and be firm in his decisions for the right conduct. On the other hand, however, we must hold our standards with what I call a sweet spirit. This means we must learn to get along with people. A Christian should not make others feel miserable in his presence. He should make them feel relaxed and happy, as you've been doing to me, amen? If we cultivate the art of making people enjoy our company, we can grow in the graces of social life and at the same time lead people to respect our Christian principles. People enjoyed having Jesus in their midst. He was invited to social gatherings. For example, we read in John chapter 2, verse 2. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And we know that's where he performed his first miracle that we have the record of, turning water into wine. So he was a pretty social guy, this Jesus, amen? This is the kind of friend I would like to hang up with. You know, there is a funeral, I say, well, Jesus, let's go along because I know what he will do. There's a party. You call me for your nice party. I say, well, I'll bring you a guest. You know, you might not have given him an invitation, but I'm sure when we get there, you will love him to be there, because Jesus was able to do different kind of things, even in social gatherings. So he was a pretty social guy. And because I'm a football lover, and I probably if the there was football at the time. Jesus played football too. Amen? Yeah, let's see Jesus as the real man living among us. Sometimes we can really box him somewhere in a kind of spiritual, celestial place, and we forget that Jesus had a human nature. Just to recap, he grew physically, he grew mentally, he grew socially. And the last point I will share with you, Jesus grew spiritually. It was his personal fellowship with the Father that enabled him to face life victoriously. It is true that he possessed a unique relationship with God, but he also maintained an unbroken fellowship with him. The fellowship of saints, the church, must not be neglected for our spiritual growth. Amen? This is a challenge. This is a challenge for all of us, myself included. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 20, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, it is quite interesting that Jesus sneaked away, if you can allow me to use this verb, from his parents, as we read here, for 3 nights and 3 days. Where was he, this little naughty boy? In the temple. Jesus was in the temple learning. Isn't it amazing? Jesus was learning. Incredible, incredible, incredible. Verse 45. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now so it was that after three days, they found him in the temple. Doing what? Sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. This is a serious tutorial. He was listening and asking questions. He wanted to grow spiritually. He wanted to know these things that will confront him in his ministry from the learned men. That's Jesus. And then I think it's an example we can follow. How many of us, this is a challenge, have even stayed one day in the temple just to learn? Just one day. Let alone 2 or 3 days. But this boy, let's remember he was only 12. You know, I was undermining quite a lot the capacities, particularly intellectual capacities or development of my own children, until when I began to realize, hey, Jesus was that young boy, but he knew a lot. You know, self-directed study. Do we know the expression? He was not sent by his parents. He sneaked away from them to learn the scriptures, the word, the reading of the word. And this is a kind of holistic growth that we need to be looking forward to. Growing physically, not only building up the muscles with our exercise, but forgetting our mental growth. That's not complete. We need to take the whole package. Let's follow the example of Jesus. I will say this to close. This year, let us renew our spiritual vitality. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 12 says this: therefore, strengthen the hands which hung down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Maybe some of us have gone weary, tired. I keep on spinning in a vicious cycle, and I feel like I'm not moving on. No, strengthen these hands. Lift them up. God is blessing you. All is available to you. I'm speaking to somebody. All is available to you. Renew your vitality. God is about to bless you. God is about to bless you. God is about to bless you. And God is about to bless you. Just receive it. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Receive it in the name of Jesus. The study of the word is becoming a forgotten thing in the schedule of believers. I don't think if you come to see me as your GP and I tell you, well, I read about this disease 5 years ago, but I will try to do something about it. You might wonder, well, why not go to someone already yesterday? And this goes with the study of the Word of God. Jesus grew spiritually. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Our relationship with God is established through the new birth. Our fellowship comes through growth in things of the Spirit. The public life of Jesus had its roots in his private and personal walk with the Father. His bright faith optimistic look and confidence in God's power to transform others came because he maintained spiritual growth through personal communion in prayer, scripture study, and constant striving to know God's will and do it. It's not enough just to know. We've got to do. Amen? We can be born physically only once, but we can grow physically. We can be born spiritually only once, but we can grow day by day in things of the Spirit as we feed on God's word and seek to follow his purposes for our life. The growth of Jesus and our growth may be different in some ways, but in many ways it is exactly the same. Jesus possessed two complete natures, the divine and the human. The Christian also have two natures. The old nature is still with us, but the new nature imparted in the conversion experience is also a reality. This is great. We don't change the bodies when we become born again. I'm still black. I'm still a boy. I did not change in that respect. But something from within has changed. We must grow. This is the message I'm bringing. We must grow. There are things we do not give to our children because they are children. We save those things for later on when they grow up. Amen? God is calling us to grow. And the quicker you grow, the sooner you get it. Amen? Let's say it. The quicker you grow, the sooner you get it. And again? That which fails to progress retrogrades. Amen? It is necessary for us to grow if life is to be enjoyable and victorious. The whole personality of man must grow. We are not divided into separate compartments, but are one personality. As we grow in each area, life will become meaningful to self, helpful to others, and pleasing to God. Amen? This is my kind of diet. I would like to grow in those four areas. There might be more. You might have some more to talk about it. But this is what the time allows me to do at this time. I do not want to continue to bore you any longer. So let's pray. Yes, Lord, it's wonderful to be in your presence. Lord, we want to grow. We ask of your food, Lord God, feed us, that we may grow physically, that we may grow, oh Lord God, mentally, that we may grow, O Lord, socially as well as spiritually. Lord, I pray that you give us grace not to neglect any part of the growth as you've designed for us. But Lord, we will grow. In the fear of you, abiding, Lord God, in all the laws you have given us, Lord, as you have spoken to us, help us to go out and live a life worthy of the gospel. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. I brought you something. This is something that my son did when he was somewhere in reception or year one. But as I was going through some of his stuff yesterday, I called him and showed this to him. He didn't want to see it again. And then I began to read some stories, and he was going, "No, Daddy, no, Daddy." I read you one. "I met tuna chunk in a tin, a chunky, watery, and a salty tuna chunk. Someone has caught me with a net. They cut my whole body. They put me on a supermarket shelf. Before they did that, they took me in a truck. Then they put me on a supermarket shelf. And the other ones frightened me with scary stories. I'm just hoping someone will buy me and take me away from these horrible friends." This is telling us there are things we do today, and as we grow, we will not go back. And God is calling us to new things. God is calling us to new things, amen? God is calling you. God is calling you. God is calling you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and me to new things. Wouldn't like to receive from God? Wouldn't like to receive from God? Let's stand up and receive from Him. Can I invite the musicians to lead us in some music?